and security experts watching Israel's war in Gaza are also now keeping an eye on the rising tensions between Pakistan and Iran. Pakistan sent missiles into Iran this morning in response to a barrage of missiles that Iran fired into Pakistan 2 days ago. People on both sides died in those attacks, but the neighboring countries don't otherwise have a hostile relationship. Here and Now security analyst Jim Walsh is here to help us understand what's going on. He's a senior research associate at the MIT Security Studies Program. Jim, welcome back.
Good to be with you, Peter.
Okay, so in a statement today, Pakistan's foreign minister called Iran a brotherly country. These are not traditional enemies. So were you surprised by the tit-for-tat airstrikes?
I wasn't surprised for the tat part, the response that Pakistan made, but I was shocked that Iran would sort of just out of the blue lob missiles and drones into Pakistan. It's highly unusual in international politics, in the international system, for the country with the smaller military and the one that doesn't have nuclear weapons to launch missiles against the country with the larger military and who does possess nuclear weapons. Didn't see it coming. You know, there are no warning signs that this was happening. And as you say, in the main, they have, you know, they're not best buddies, Iran and Pakistan, but they're not at each other's throats. They don't have a rivalry. And so it was a surprise.
The stated mission is that, well, each country is actually accused the other of harboring militants along the border. But was that the actual target here?
You know, it's hard to know, in part because it was a surprise, but that is part of an old story that you see a lot in Southwest Asia and in the Middle East, only minus the missiles part. In other words, often there's a spread out through the Middle East, and the Kurds come to mind as the most famous example. You have a minority group that's spread out across different countries. They want to form their own country. They're, as a minority group, different either by identity or religion or ethnicity or some combination from the majority government. And so then that eventually develops into a violent opposition and a call for their own province or country. And then, you know, they have to seek safe haven, and so they set up shop in another country. And then sometimes that country does something about it, and sometimes, you know, it looks the other way or it conveniently uses them. And so you have these proxies who are sort of spread out throughout the region who have, you know, grievance with one country or hiding out in another country, angering the two countries involved. Typical, typical, typical. What is not typical is to launch missiles.
Right. And I think the deeper question is, what exactly is going on with Iran? I mean, they have been more than happy to operate through proxies in the region. We've been talking about the Houthi rebels in Yemen. Now they're openly sending bombs into neighboring countries. And it's not just Pakistan, but there's also Iraq and Syria earlier this week. What is the deeper motivation here, do you think, with Iran?
Peter, I think you put your finger right on it. To me, the big question is, what the heck is going on with Iran? This is not normal supreme leader behavior. You can say a lot of things about the supreme leader, but sort of reckless and throwing missiles around does not fall into that category. He's calculating. He's conservative. He's an autocrat, but he's not sort of wildly reckless. So we have, as you rightly point out, seen other attacks and incidents very recently. Those were all sort of explainable by the usual explanations, the usual suspects that experts would turn to. This one does not fit. It's outside of that box. You can see some of it in the previous stuff as being opportunistic or relating to the war between Israel and Gaza. But this is a different thing, and it raises questions about, has the decision-making process changed in Iran? Do the Revolutionary Guard have some sort of role that they didn't have before? So those are some of the things, you know, I wonder about as this unfolds.
We've been talking about a broader war in the Middle East, and the risks of it appears that it's here now. So what are the dangers ahead?
Well, I mean, on the one hand, I hear you. You know, there's this there and here that. And you know, Lebanon, Israel, Pakistan, it all seems to be happening and bubbling at the same time. I don't see this, Iran-Pakistan, as escalating. There is no central beef here. The nature of the dispute, luckily, is one that's pretty easy to negotiate. Some disputes are not easy to negotiate. I don't see why Iran would necessarily want to pick a fight with a much larger country. But, it was subject to this giant terrorist attack by the Islamic State, and it may be part of that. But on its own, I'd be surprised if it escalated. But it is worrisome that things seem to be breaking out for different reasons in different places all at the same time.
one of many ripples of violence we've seen in recent weeks. Here and Now security analyst Jim Walsh, thank you.
Thank you.